It's a chilly spring day, and we've pulled up to where Geddes Brook joins Nine Mile Creek, just across the 695 freeway from the state fairgrounds. SUNY ESF professor and chair of environmental and forest biology Don Leopold says the now meandering brook didn't always look like this. Before, it resembled more of a ditch surrounded by a single invasive plant.
I walked in here before any of this construction. I remember walking on a berm, and it was phragmites, a common reed on both sides, a straight channel. This doesn't look like the same state. It looks entirely like we're in a different country.
You can kind of see the success of the water in the wetlands from runoff and from high water.
John McAuliffe is Honeywell Syracuse program director for the company's $451 million cleanup project.
You can see the areas that are frozen over here to the left and over to the right. So that's functioned as designed when Nine Mile Creek came up, or when Geddes Brook came up. It kind of overflowed into that area, and it's holding the water now. So it's functioning as a wetland.
Professor Don Leopold says the winding brook serves an ecological function.
The advantage of all those little squiggly lines, it's not just pretty from the air, but it allows the water to be in contact with the land more, and so the land and the microorganisms can process the things that are in the water that we want processed. So wetlands in general are very efficient, taking up nutrients, taking up materials, good and bad.
More than 320,000 plants, shrubs, and trees covering 250 native species have been planted in the restored areas so far. The goal is 1.1 million plantings. But how did the scientists know what would thrive, let alone survive the conditions and competition from invasive species? After all, it's been most of a lifetime since anyone has seen the lake and its habitat anywhere near their natural state, after decades of pollution and neglect. Leopold says the Syracuse area is lucky to have a connection to early missionaries, settlers, and Native American culture.
Some botanists came here back in the early 1800s, and the records for the plant species in the natural communities is pretty extraordinary. We look at a lot of that, so we find out, we know exactly what types of plants were here. Pretty comprehensive list. So the next part is, well, how do you get them back? And, well, all of us who study these things our whole lives know that if you create certain conditions, certain water conditions, certain substrate conditions, certain fertility levels, that there's an array of species that you're going to promote, and there's an array of species that don't have a chance.
Leopold says they also understand the flood tolerances of the plants so they can survive weeks of high water from melting snow and spring rains. Honeywell's John McAuliffe says none of the restoration would be possible without the hundreds of volunteers with the Onondaga Lake Conservation Corps that have taken an interest in reclaiming the lake.
My name is Diane Houn. I'm a retired teacher from Marcellus, so I grew up in this area.
Houn and her husband Peter first became interested in the lake habitat restoration effort when engineers and other workers involved in the cleanup stopped at their ice cream shop on Milton Avenue. Since then, the Hounds have taken part in events from planting to identifying birds and other wildlife.
In a way, I feel like a little bit responsible for things that happened at the lake, even though I had really no say or part in it. I was pretty much a child. But to think that we had such a beautiful area here and to see that it's been destroyed is so heartbreaking.
Houn is pleased that Honeywell and its partners are incorporating volunteers and has been delighted to see so many others join in.
Seeing a lot of redheads, a couple of canvasback. Oh, there's ringneck ducks too. Gosh, there's got to be hundreds of them out there.
Chris Lajeski peers through a scope at the Onondaga Lake Visitor Center off Interstate 690. The director of the Montezuma Audubon Center then zooms in across the lake to Destiny USA and the Metro Sewage Treatment Plant, where bald eagles are known to hang out.
Yeah, a lot of times we see those eagles sitting in the trees. Oh, and I see a couple right now. Looks like a couple of adults. They've got white heads and white tails. We also see some juvenile bald eagles in those trees.
Lajeski says it's not uncommon to see 20 to 40 bald eagles wintering on Onondaga Lake these days. That hasn't always been the case.
If the trees are not here, if the wetlands are not in abundance and providing the critical habitat for these birds, then they won't be here. And that's what we were seeing over the last 100 years. Birds of the wildlife were not flocking to this wonderful resource.
Now he says there's been what he calls a tremendous turnaround, and the birds have responded.
We're now seeing a flourishing habitat, abundant native vegetation, and birds and other wildlife are flocking back in to take up residence there. tremendous success story.
But Lajeski says Onondaga Lake is more than just a random place for birds and waterfowl to roost. The area actually plays a significant role in the Atlantic Flyway.
This expressway up in the sky that birds travel during the migration season, both spring and fall. Millions of birds use that flyway, and Onondaga Lake sits notably on that flyway.
Lajeski says there's no doubt birds and other wildlife used the lake and its wetlands before people and industry moved in and altered the habitat. That's why the effort to restore this environment to a more natural state is so essential. Plants and animals are now returning, but the area is also important to residents living nearby. Some have questioned the effectiveness of dredging the lake bottom of contaminants and pumping the material 4 miles away to a disposal site in Camillus. Dozens of neighbors in the area have filed a lawsuit against Honeywell, claiming serious illness from mercury and other chemicals that may have leaked from the site. The EPA is scheduled to evaluate that dredging and disposal, as well as the habitat restoration, as part of a 5-year review. The report is expected by late August. Volunteer Diane Houn hopes Honeywell and its partners have been genuine in their efforts.
Are they really concerned about the lake and the environment and leaving the lake a beautiful place for the next several generations? I think when there's problems, to try to be honest with the public, and I think that's going to be the biggest way to rebuild faith. So right now, everyone I've spoken to, I feel like they're looking at the environment for the future. So I'm really hopeful that that's the case.
SUNY ESF professor Don Leopold feels this project is unique and that everyone involved truly cares about the outcome.
What we're trying to do is make sure people understand this is our lake. That's why I think this project's been so successful, is that it's unlike a lot of projects where people come in from regions away and then they try to fix something. There's nothing at stake. They just meet the contract and they leave. But we're all here. I mean, we're all based here. And the fact that you can't use this resource to the extent that you can in other places, well, what a shame. And so that's changing.
It's amazing to think that just 40 years ago, there were probably no bald eagles here at the lake. But because of active conservation and restoration work like we're doing here at Onondaga Lake, the bald eagle now soars high over the lake, sits perched in the trees, and hunts in the wetlands. So we can take pride in that, knowing that we have made a difference and Onondaga Lake is coming back to life.
It's been such a sad story for so long that I think people maybe are a little bit skeptical about what's going to happen in the future. But as much as they're skeptical, I believe they're also very hopeful that once this has begun, you know, if we're lucky enough, blessed enough to get that lake even back to some of its former beauty and the way we could use the lake, that would be just a wonderful thing.
Scott Willis, WAER News.